When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for tuning in to 97.1 FM Talk. Glad to be back. And it was pretty wild to see how sunburned Ethan got while I was gone on vacation.
That's all we talked about.
What'd you do to him?
We actually sent him outside. We said, it's really hot. Why don't you go outside and take your shirt off? But there wasn't really any context.
You know, when people have infirmities that are on the outside that are maybe like a incidental thing, not, of course, a chronic situation. I just did this to Ethan as he was walking out. I recommended to him that next time he wears sunscreen. Isn't that the worst? Like when people are sincere about it and you're like, gosh, didn't think of that. I am kind of curious if he did wear sunscreen. So this has been a topic of conversation on the show my last couple days off.
A little bit. I mean, we haven't discussed it exclusively, but we did talk about how he would go off on his own into private offices and lather up, which was weird.
Oil up.
In my opinion, personal opinion.
I'm back. I took a trip with my son, again, inspired by one Ryan Wiggins, who used to talk all the time, talk about how he would prioritize taking trips with his individual children. And I was inspired by that. So I took my son to a trip to Florida this past weekend, had a great time, walked 25,000, 30,000 steps. And guess what? That's unusual compared to my normal step count. I at the end of it, I was like, I'm ready to go back to work and sit in my chair for 3 hours a day.
30,000 per day?
Yeah, pushing.
Wow, you go.
When I took my daughter in April, she was like, oh, we can go shopping. We can sit and watch the shows. She'll ride all the rides, but she often does it because that's what everybody's doing. She didn't need to do any of that stuff. My son's like, all right, what are we doing next? And I was like, let's go. This is a trip for you. So I'm back. I am excited to be here. I am saddened to hear of the situation that unfolded yesterday in New York City. So that took place in the, what time did that shooting?
It had to have been right when we got off the air. It might have been happening when we were getting off the air and they weren't reporting on
it. I saw Nate Foy reporting on it. And I think what he said was it was taking place during rush hour.
Yeah,
so
that sounds right.
I'm all confused on time zones and everything, but this is kind of a tough one to figure out just on the surface. Sometimes it's pretty clear what's going on right away, but it sounds like this guy, he had an automatic weapon, correct? M4?
I heard M4, but then I also heard that it's not an M4, that it's an M4-styled AR platform. So
I heard it was an automatic weapon. I think... I'll check my facts, but I think I heard that from Dana Lash's Twitter profile, because she, when it comes to these types of gun crimes, she is on top of all the stupid. Well, let's just say that she's on top of all the stupid that's out there. She's she's reining it in and talking about how the gun that he had, like there are laws that prevent people from acquiring the type of gun that he had. He broke those laws. He drove from Nevada all the way to New York. And then he walks into a building and mows people down in a building. Like when the reaction to a situation like this is immediately like, see, gun control now. Real news, folks. We need to do something about the mentally infirmed people, those individuals who have mental troubles that eliminate their ability to live civilly among civilization. And I would say I don't know if this guy would have qualified for that in the first place, but he had had multiple interactions, I think, with law enforcement where his mental capacity, his disturbed mental state caused him trouble before. We've had this whole when did like shouting out your mental struggles become in vogue?
Oh, that's been a slow fade. Because that was something that was people starting to...
Isn't Obama that ushered it? Like, the I'm not okay, you're not okay, or I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, or I'm not okay. I don't know how it goes, because I'm not one of those people. But, like, the whole idea of, you know, remember when the word normal became a bad word?
Yeah.
You couldn't say things were normal, because then that was pointing out the things that are not normal. And when you can't do that anymore... you're going to lose a civilized society. You're not going to be in a position where you can... Are we not? Have we not spent at least 15 years? At least 15 years. Being a little quieter. Because you're afraid you're going to upset somebody or offend somebody. And you know that the mob and the masses are going to come protect that person. And not just protect the person who is being called out for something. They are going to double down, triple down on attacking you for saying, I don't feel comfortable with this. This doesn't seem right to me.
It's always done in the name of, well, you don't want to alienate people. And everybody kind of went, yeah, that's true. I don't really want to alienate people. I don't really want to be mean. And so you'd accept their terms. And we were wrong. We were wrong to accept their terms. Their terms were stupid. And they've led to just nonsense.
I do think that wasn't there a news story? And I'm catching up to everything. And I was kind of talking to them, to Brad and Ryan here before the show started. I usually spend the 24 hours before I come back, I'm just reading a lot of Twitter or try to watch the news straight through so I can get multiple cycles of the news from different perspectives or whatever. But with this shooting that took place in New York City, right downtown New York City, it really, as it should, took up a lot of the news cycle, news reporting. So a lot of the things that we would normally talk about, something like this happens, and of course we're going to discuss it, we're going to talk about it. Lives were lost in this. A man who had two children and one on the way, the woman's in her eighth month. I can't understand that. Are we going to reflexively here go through the same conversations about gun control now? I mean, is it true? I see the clip is on the page here, but is it true that they reported on him as a possible white guy?
Yeah, CNN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CNN did.
These are things that I've heard and read a lot of tweets about, and I kind of want to, I don't know, did you guys talk about while I was out the Cincinnati situation?
No.
Not really.
So that's something I kind of want to talk about too. But the majority of what I was getting this weekend about this, there's a brawl in Cincinnati. And in this brawl, it's a bunch of black people surrounding a white couple. And the white couple, I guess the guy was getting the snot kicked out of him. The woman comes in and tries to defend him. And then she gets cold clocked and she's gone. Like,
yeah.
Not like dead that I know of, but
knocked out.
You can't look at that situation and say, in the video that you're seeing with your own eyes, if it were a bunch of white people standing around a couple of black people kicking the snot out of them, that we don't obviously know how that story would go. It would inflame the movement that has happened and been happening since Ferguson in 2014. So people don't talk about these things because they're the social backlash that comes with pointing at something that is obvious. And I don't know all the details. This is really getting under my skin. Like I was saying, the story this weekend about the Cincinnati situation, the brawl, the beating of this white couple. The story that I kept coming up to in my feed was, why is nobody talking about what happened in Cincinnati over and over and over again. Where is the story on the Cincinnati? And I kept thinking, like, can one of you tell me what the story? Like, if you're bringing this, if you're bringing attention to this, can you just throw this at me so I can consume it here real quick and understand what's going on? Well, now this story is gaining some legs. I think five people have been charged. We don't know yet if they've been arrested. There could be more charges coming. I mean, if you've seen the video, it's very possible that you could have attempted murder based on the based on the activities that are witnessed there. There are people who are on the other side in the midst of, like, A, why is nobody talking about the story and discussing this and reporting on this? The other people, including, I believe, the police chief, says that the video doesn't show the full context of the situation. And I want to know, Ms. Police Chief, what did they do to deserve that type of behavior? Well, this is not civilized. If they said something, you know, we can all sit here and imagine the worst possible things that could be said in an instance like that. None of that, none of it, results in that behavior being warranted. That's not the way it works. So we have this movement in our society where when people are acting absolutely uncivilized in savage ways, it doesn't matter how rich they are. It doesn't matter how powerful they are. I'm thinking about the shooter who walked up and shot that United Healthcare CEO. He has fans. That guy has fans. This is uncivilized. And the only way to regain a civilized society is to be able to point at something and say what is real. And if it hurts people's feelings, they're going to have to work on that. But that doesn't mean you can't not address truth, because people are going to have their feelings hurt by it. Folks, if you look around and pay attention to what is real, there is a lot that hurts our feelings because we live in a broken world. The only way to encourage the actual enjoyment that can come from living in a civil society is if you're able to talk about what is true and what is real. We'll talk more about the situation in New York throughout the show. We're going to take a quick break because we have Attorney General Andrew Bailey coming up next. He is doing the work, protecting life, of course, here in the state of Missouri. He's been very, very used to that. We'll talk to him about Planned Parenthood next. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I heard news here just recently that a Planned Parenthood in Evansville, Indiana, a couple states over here from the state of Missouri, is closing its location. And with the work of the administration and, of course, the work of attorneys general across the nation fighting back and fighting for life, we've seen a cascade of effects that are going to benefit the secure life that we need to fight for with the unborn. Attorney General Andrew Bailey is certainly a leader, bellwether in this effort. Attorney General, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you, Andrew Bailey.
Hey, thank you, ma'am. Really appreciate you having me on.
It's always an opportunity that we don't want to pass up. I do want to talk to you about mifepristone and this medication that can be sent to women. You can have, like, your own abortion. It's like a DoorDash abortion. It's kind of outrageous to me. This is something else that you've been fighting back against, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk to us about how you're fighting for life.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Look, I believe all life has value, and at the end of the day, We have to have certain health and safety measures in place to protect the health and safety of women and children. But Planned Parenthood is a cult of death, and their deadly lies are starting to catch up with them. We filed a first-of-its-kind lawsuit to hold them accountable for defrauding Missouri healthcare patients by lying about and concealing the dangers of mifepristone. Look, this is a drug, a powerful chemical, designed to end a human life, and there are negative and serious health consequences associated with this medication. Every study that's been conducted has shown somewhere between 5 to 10% of women who take mifepristone to terminate an abortion end up in emergency care through bleeding and hemorrhaging and anxiety, depression. If you have an ectopic pregnancy, the risks are innumerable, and it can oftentimes be undiagnosed. And so when Planned Parenthood says things on their website to Missouri women like, hey, this pill is as safe as Tylenol, they're lying about the dangers, and we're going to expose their deadly lies and hold them accountable.
You know, Attorney General Andrew Bailey with us right now. I wonder if you have any thoughts on why this issue is so important to the left, because when you're talking about the possibility of a woman who is expecting, or at least the test that they took at home says they're expecting, you mentioned an ectopic pregnancy, which I will remind people is going to be a non-viable pregnancy that will need to be terminated one way or the other, because it is a non-viable pregnancy. It's very dangerous to the life of the mother. You don't really know that unless you go in and you find out exactly what's going on in your body. You take a test and you're like, gosh, I'm pregnant. Saying I'm pregnant. Now I need to do something about this. I don't want to go to a clinic. I'll just get on the computer, have some of this medicine shipped to my door, and I'll take care of this myself. None of this is pro-woman. It's pro-abortion in the sense that it's protecting abortion at all costs, including the life of the mother. Why is this issue so important to the left?
Well, I think they're just committed to a cult of death. And again, Annie, I would go even one step further and say it's not only that they promote death over health and safety, it's that they're willing to actually undermine and conceal the danger to women. The lies go so deep. We've even caught Planned Parenthood lying, saying, hey, patients who take mifepristone, if you end up with complications in the emergency room and your life is at risk, don't tell the healthcare provider that you took mifepristone from us. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that except to, number one, put the patient's life at risk, number two, continue to promote this cult of death, and number three, eliminate any access to data that would be used to demonstrate just how dangerous this powerful chemical is.
So the advocacy here on making mifepristone available, can you first tell me what have you done so far in Missouri to fight back against the Planned Parenthoods of the world? We know that they are being defunded to a great extent through the Trump administration, but specifically in the state of Missouri, what kind of efforts have you led?
Well, certainly we sued Planned Parenthood to block them from trafficking minors out of state for illegal abortions without parental consent. That's something they bragged about in an investigative journalist video. We've exposed them for that and have sued them on that front. We've also defended the state's attempt to defund Planned Parenthood. Our General Assembly, having the constitutional authority of the power over the purse, determined that they no longer wanted to fund the cult of death that has such a documented history of using moldy abortion machines on women, lying to women, deceiving women, refusing to abide by basic health and safety protocols. The General Assembly said, we're not going to fund it. Congress said the same thing in President Trump's big, beautiful bill. We're defending the state's authority to defund Planned Parenthood. We're at the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. I believe briefing is due this week. And in fact, we hope to have oral argument here in the coming weeks. And again, that's just defending our state's authority to set those kinds of policy positions. And we're talking about public money being funded, being funneled to this cult of death. And so that's what the General Assembly wants to put a stop to. They have a rational basis to do so. We've also, like I said, this is a first of its kind lawsuit against their false advertising as it relates to mifepristone. We also fought the FDA under the Biden administration, sued in the Northern District of Texas to block their approval of mifepristone for shipment through the mail. Because again, that's where you see the problems taking place when there's no physician who's administering the pill, who's been monitoring the patient's health and safety. Moreover, there's been a law on the books at the federal level since the 1870s that says it's illegal to ship abortion chemicals through the mail, because the people's elected representatives back then even knew how dangerous these sorts of things were. And so enforcing those statutes and those prohibitions is critical to our work to protect the health and safety of women and children in Missouri.
So just to be clear, with all of the safeguards to protect the unborn in the state of Missouri, is it legal for any entity to provide mifepristone through the mail and send it to somebody living in Missouri right now?
It is my position that it is a criminal offense under the federal code to ship mifepristone through the mail.
Period.
Period. That's what the Comstock law says, and it has not been repealed. Look, if Planned Parenthood and the pro-death groups don't want that law in the books, they need to lobby Congress and get that law repealed. But that's been the law of the land since the 1870s, and unless and until the people's elected representatives repeal that statute, then it should have its full force and effect.
Oh, man. Go, Andrew Bailey, go. Attorney General Andrew Bailey with us right now, of course, the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. What kind of success do you anticipate having with this? Fox 2 here in St. Louis says the lawsuit seeks a court order to stop Planned Parenthood from making what Bailey's lawsuit alleges are misleading claims about mifepristone. It's also seeking more than $1.8 million in civil penalties for violations of Missouri law and up to $1,000 in restitution for every Missouri woman who Planned Parenthood provided abortion pills to in the past 5 years. How quickly do you hope to see success in this?
Well, we hope to move this case rapidly. I think, again, there have been pro-life groups around the nation who have been hungering for someone to take the fight to the enemies of health and safety. And certainly at the national level, Planned Parenthood has remained, has not had gloves laid on them, has not had someone take the fight to them in this way. And so this is receiving a lot of national attention. A lot of groups are interested in the work we're doing, exposing their deadly lies. But think about it. When Planned Parenthood lies to women, and those women then end up in the emergency room because of Planned Parenthood's lies, and then Planned Parenthood doubles down and says, hey, don't tell them you took this powerful chemical we sent to you in order to conceal the nature of the harms, that is not only harming Missourians, but it's harming the state of Missouri. How many more emergency room visits and how much backlog did we experience at our emergency rooms, thereby causing our Missouri Medicaid program to suffer? And so that's why those damages are so relevant and important to putting a number on the amount of harm that Planned Parenthood at the national level has done to the state of Missouri. We can qualify it all day long and say they're killing babies, they're taking innocent life, they're harming women. But when you put it in numbers like that, that you're actually creating a damaging effect on our healthcare system, people start to take notice.
And Andrew Bailey, Attorney General of the State of Missouri, thank you for being here. It's so refreshing to hear someone actually fighting for women. And I appreciate that you're doing it. You're fearless in it. And I hope that you'll come back and tell us as this case develops. I'd love to be near the top, if not the first, to be able to talk to you about this, because it's such an important issue and we need fighters. And I appreciate that as a man, you're not like, this is a woman's issue, because that's kind of the lazy way out that a lot of people take politically on this issue. We need the men and the women alike to be fighting this charge, and you're doing a great job.
Hey, Annie, I appreciate you. Look forward to keeping you updated and talk again soon.
We'll do that. Thank you so much. The Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, right there. It is wild to me that you can have an abortion, like a mail order abortion.
I just can't believe we're here.
So think about this for a second. A woman finds out she's pregnant. Now, everybody, when you think about abortion, you probably think about the 20-year-old girl who went to a frat party, had a few drinks, made a mistake, got pregnant, and is like, oh, my whole life is in front of me. I don't want to lose everything that I've been working so hard for. So she orders a pill and she has an abortion. Now, that happens, certainly. And when that happens, mifepristone might produce a gross, successful abortion. But there are women, you know, I think to myself right now, if I got pregnant right now, because I have no intentions of being pregnant, but if I got pregnant right now, talk about a curveball in life, like what that would do. A, can I physically go through 9 months of pregnancy again? I am not good at it to begin with. It would be devastating for me to hear. And if I didn't have an understanding of what truly happens, A, at conception and through development, how you can have a heartbeat at 6 days after conception, like the true biological scientific fact of the creation of life. If you just thought that it was a clump of cells and it was a nothing until, I guess, you decide, I think it's something now. I mean, that's really all it is. If you're going to, you can't choose to start following science at 20 weeks. That's ridiculous. So, you know, maybe you're thinking your run-of-the-mill abortion situation, which is that 20-year-old girl, but there are a lot of cases across the spectrum of childbearing, women of childbearing age, where this could be the easy way out. But the problem is, if you are going to mail order your abortion, the chances are very likely that you have not invited into that situation a medical provider, a doctor. Now, we had a comment on here, and I mean, this is exactly the type of comment to me that makes me facepalm and go, this is the problem. Especially when it comes to men making comments about this and women making comments about this. It shouldn't matter, but to me, it actually does. A male making a comment that says, mifepristone is proven to be very effective and safe within 70 days. The first 70 days. How the hell do you know that you're within 70 days if you haven't seen a doctor? How do you know? How do you know that it's a viable pregnancy and that that's what you're... You actually kind of need it to be a healthy pregnancy in order to have what they would call a healthy abortion. Because if there are other things... Listen, I've had a miscarriage myself. I've gone through the process of my body rejecting... my doctor said that it's one in, and I trust my doctor wholeheartedly on this issue, but my doctor said it's like one in three pregnancies actually end the way mine did, which was, I think, within about the first 10 weeks. And he said, and he was very loving when he said this, but he's like, the conception would not have ever materialized into a viable pregnancy. So your body is triggered. It thinks it's pregnant. I'm paraphrasing. So if you're a medical person out there, don't judge my doctor based on this, but the idea is that my body said it was pregnant because it was reacting in that way, but what I had to end up passing myself was not, like, there was not a little baby there. How do you know that when you're ordering this pill and you haven't gone to talk to anyone about it because you kind of want to just put this away and hide it and just, it's your little secret. How do you know that when you take that pill that there's not something else going on? And the men who are out there who are advocating for abortion, you don't have any idea what you're talking about to say, like, oh, science says that within 70 days it's okay. You can't possibly apply some sort of statistic that is out there like that to a woman, because the woman, you don't know what the woman's biological medical situation is. And the truth is, she may not know either if she hasn't gone to a doctor. So we're more interested in advocating for at all costs, the protection of abortions, and we're sacrificing women in the process. That makes no sense, because the entire feminist movement that pushed abortion on demand as a pillar, that it's like the foundation of what the feminist movement ended up being about. You're doing it at the potential cost of women. Like, go see your doctor. I don't want anyone to get an abortion. I would, if you can have the child and put it up for adoption, do that. Go through the pregnancy and maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you won't. But it is a life. You can't decide it's a life now. And when you're watching, good God, all the gender reveals that are taking place, although everybody's so happy. Big gender reveals. I have a whole different thing to say about big gender reveals, where you have everybody come and spend money and give you gifts so that you could be like, it's pink. Why are they all so happy? Like, that's really the choice movement here. They just chose to be happy because they want that baby. The left's alternative to confetti and popping balloons and all of the obnoxious things that people do for gender reveals, that choice to be happy, the alternative is a choice to eliminate that happiness, or to eliminate, to say, this doesn't make me happy, so I'm just going to choose to believe that it's, this is crude, but it's true. This isn't a baby whose life is going to change the future of the planet. This baby is going to go in the trash. In the dumpster. It's a choice. That's your pro-choice movement right there. The science of it, though, that does not change. And if you want to be pro-woman, You cannot take the medical providers that you want to say, oh, a woman and her doctor, a woman and her doctor, pushing that and pushing that and pushing that, when you're trying to say that if a doctor and a woman want to make a choice about the future of this fetus. That was the whole movement for a really long time, which was, you know, stay out of the exam room, leave it to the woman and the doctor. Now you're taking the doctor away because the doctor might have to do some sciencing there and say, well, it's alive. It's 6 weeks alive. Here's the heartbeat. Here are the fingers and the toes. These people have lost their ever-loving minds. It's evil. Thank God that Andrew Bailey is fighting against it. All right, quick break. I'll tell you what the poll question is when we come back. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Scooped me on the poll question.
What a scoop.
I teased people. They were waiting for this moment when I came back to tell them what the poll question is, and then they heard it in the time check, and then they just left.
They were on the edge of their seats, and I took full advantage of that as your opening act.
Thanks. I feel like I'm going to say Ghislaine Maxwell different, her first name different every time. What kind of name is that?
It's a name that implies money.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Isn't she from money?
I think so.
She's testified, or not testified. She went into a hearing with a congressional committee, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that under oath?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't
I don't know that
be.
We get the full transcript, but...
That's like, I always ask that question because Hillary Clinton went in for some... interviews, and they were interviews. They weren't under oath.
Yeah, is that like, under oath?
Yeah. So
good question.
It matters to me, though. Yeah. You know, when the Hunter, or excuse me, when the Joe Biden cohorts are going in, that's under oath, which is why they've got a scratch on the record when they go in there. I plead the fifth. So apparently Maxwell is working attempting towards trying to get a pardon. And this is kind of this is sticky to me. Let's listen to President Trump when he was asked about it.
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell if
it's something I haven't thought about. It's really
something.
It's something I'm allowed to do it, but it's something I have not thought about.
But you wouldn't rule it out, sir.
So it's something, he said it's something he hasn't thought about, but he's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a great way to keep them coming back for more.
Yeah.
All parties.
Yeah, because the quotes that came out of this little tiny press junket there were, I'm allowed to do it. They didn't quote the rest of it. I haven't really thought about it. You know, it's not on my mind, but I'm allowed to do it. And so everybody who's running cover against Trump, quote, I'm allowed to do it.
She's seeking a pardon. Now, what does everybody want? Everybody wants the truth. We can handle the truth. One of the things I did this weekend with my son when we were in Florida is we would go back to the hotel and we would watch a movie. And we watched A Few Good Men and Shawshank Redemption. He had never seen either of those.
Oh, Shawshank.
Yes.
A Few Good Men. It's good acting, but
I think it's a really good story.
Good movie.
It's good like to get introduced to some court drama. I mean, it's military court, but...
Yeah.
If Maxwell is to receive some sort of deal or immunity of some kind for all of the truth, exposure of every nook and cranny, I don't know why she wouldn't expose everything if she were essentially let off the hook. We have pardon, clemency, or no. And these are your options. You can go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. I think I'm kind of right now, I'm very open to be persuaded on this by what listeners comment on the YouTube channel or what you guys might say. I want the truth. And I don't, like, she's not capable of doing more now with Epstein because he's dead. I am open to the idea of a clemency for full exposure of the truth. I think.
Well,
I'm not solid on that.
I'm with you, but it's got to be, there are very narrow circumstances by which I would even get there, because I'm a no kind of blanket. But if you can provide enough information that casts a very wide net.
And details.
Isn't just the things we already know.
Yeah.
Oh, Prince Andrew.
Tell me the color of the suit that Bill Clinton was wearing when he XYZ.
Yeah,
or the color of the dress. Tell me, you know, tell me the date and tell me what the weather was like when fill in the blank here was coming. Like, I want indisputable facts.
And it's got to be specific crimes, specific people, dates, things that you can also verify outside of just Ghislaine Maxwell. Because you have to have more than just her testimony to go after these people. So you have to be able to test these things against all other circumstances too. And that's why I say it's got to be a very narrow circumstance where you can actually start putting people away. And not just a couple. I mean a lot. You got to get everybody,
everybody
and everyone.
And I don't know. I don't know how this all works. But like, if we find out at any point in time that you hid any part of the truth or whatever, you're going to prison for life. I would even say, I don't know what her circumstances are right now in prison. I don't know how comfortable she is, how uncomfortable she is. But if she spills her guts on everything. Can she be on house arrest for the rest of her term?
Maybe. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think is worth talking about. We know this, though. She spent 9 hours giving testimony on this over the span of 2 days. 6 hours the first day, 3 hours the next day. That's a lot of talking. So,
Brad,
don't know what it's about
yet. Strong feelings on this?
No pardons. I absolutely, it doesn't matter the information that she might be able to give. No pardons. Clemency, I'm open to a little bit, but it, like you guys,
show us what you got.
Yeah, show us what you got, and what you've got better lead to prosecutions. Otherwise, it's worthless. I don't want just the information if that information is going to go out there, and then I got to look at these people who were alleged to have done these things, but they still get to go on and live their life. I need closure. I need to know that the people that committed the horrible acts that we suspect they committed, that are alleged to have been committed on this island, that they go to prison, that they suffer consequences.
Is it possible at all that the scope, the breadth of what we think happened, the amount of people that were involved, is it possible that it's a fraction of what we think?
Yeah, it's possible, but there are so many people that were going out to that island. What do you think they were doing? Now, just because they're having affairs, that's not illegal.
Is it possible that they were going to the island? I don't know the answers to these questions. These are all things that I'm just saying out loud, and then I'm noticing some people in the chat are like, Andy, that's stupid because... And I'm like, when they say what they say, I'm like, well, if that's true, then it was stupid. So, just spitballing here. But is it possible that there was a part of the island that was doing... Like, you could go to the A side of the island or the B side of the island, and one of it was... You could, you know, like if you go to over here, then you get where the child stuff starts coming in. Is it possible? You know, remember, in a court of law, you have to talk about beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to be able to prove absolute guilt in front of a jury trial or a judge if they're assessing the trial. You have to say there is zero reasonable doubt in your mind that this is what happened. And if you can't prove it, even though you can know it.
Yeah.
If you can't prove it.
You got to be able to prove it.
You got to be able to prove it.
You got to be able to prove it and prosecute it, just like Brad said.
I feel like she's the only person who is on the face of the planet that we know of, at least publicly, that could prove, be the missing link to prove it.
Yeah, and not only was she part of, you know, the mastermind operation here, so that's a key figure, but she's in prison. So you can turn the screws on her and really get something out of her, and she's the only one. So that's why I'm like, well, I don't want to pardon her at all.
No, yeah. We're 3 for 3 here, and hell no.
I
could have put, instead of clemency, I could have put mercy.
There's...
Which is...
The crimes matter too, though, because if it's sex with minors, that's where you really got to get people. Or if there's something else crazy of the internet conspiracies and Bill Gates and all this stuff. Yeah, I want to know that stuff,
there
too.
There are a lot of sexual deviancies and infidelity types of things that are not illegal.
Exactly.
And we need to know the difference.
Right.
Just go to a Coldplay concert. All right, let's take a quick break. Wiggins America next on Dumb Driving Moves that I have already committed today. We'll be right back. Better than the sun.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! All right, common driving errors you're making, maybe even right now as you're listening. Pay attention and adjust accordingly. Number one.
Stop looking at your phone while you're driving right now.
Yeah, but you can listen to the radio. The radio's great. Radio doesn't distract you at all.
Don't look at the radio, though, except for when I'm making a really good point.
Yeah, just stare.
I'm staring right
back
at you.
We can feel it.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Here's the first one. Driving slowly in the passing lane. I'm throwing these out there to see if any of you guys really do these things.
I do not do that.
I do not do this either.
That one slimes under my skin.
All of the driving offenses... That is not it. And if there's ever a reason, and I can't recall a time where it ever was the case, if there were ever a reason where I was like, oh, I'm kind of poking here, I would just like put myself in timeout and like go sit in the corner of shame.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to the right.
Doesn't it drive you crazy, though? I'll add this. When you are driving faster than the lane on the right, you're in the left lane, and somebody's still riding you. You're like, look, I'm doing my part, man. I know you want to go faster than I'm going.
It's not for riding in. It's not a lane for riding in. You get out there, you go around, and then if that other lane's open, you jump back into
Brad,
the lane.
Brad, do you move
right.
out of the fast lane?
I do.
Let me ask you this. Is there a max speed in which you are going and someone is all of a sudden on your tail out of nowhere that you're like, you know what? No, I'm not going to move out of the way for you. Is there a point where it irritates
yeah.
you enough?
I think almost 100% of the time. If somebody does that to me, I'm like, oh, now I'm going to go the speed of traffic.
If the person wants to be an a-hole about it and is like, the way I'm going to get you to move is by tailing you, I'm not going to go slower because I'm not going to cause an accident. But like, there's a way to go about this and be a respectable human being and be like, I'm going faster than you and I need to get around you to move over. But if you're going to be a jerkwad about it, mm-hmm. Sorry.
But what if they're driving like just ridiculous over the speed
let
limit?
Let them go.
Like, I mean, like if they're driving 90 miles an hour and all of a sudden they're on your that makes me mad because I'm like, I'm already going a pretty good speed passing
the
people.
The thing is like, as an aware driver, you should, if okay, let's say, I don't do this, but I was going 82.
mm-hmm.
Like
way
Ryan
to cover
drives.
Yourself.
Ryan is a ridiculously terrible driver.
Old steel foot.
Old steel foot.
I'm driving 82 and I'm like passing people because I'm trying to get to somewhere and that's too fast. I shouldn't be driving 82. Shame on me if
allegedly.
I'm doing that. But I don't. I'm talking about Ryan. I have a friend who is named Ryan and he's here in the room with me. Is he in the room with me?
I have
Ryan,
no idea.
Ryan Schmelz. Oh. sure. I think he can handle it. And someone is bearing down on me. I'm actually thinking they stole the car and I want to get the heck out of the way to begin with. But if it's somebody who could tell just thinks that they own the road and they're bearing down on me, I will look for an appropriate time to move over, but it will be when I determine that it's
yeah.
appropriate. But I'm not making the person pass me on the right. That's not happening. But you just can kind of tell when somebody is like, the road is where I exert my power.
See, I
and
try-
I'm like, okay. Okie dokie.
See, I drive 70 every day.
Old
there
feather
are some
foot.
Crazy drivers on 70.
No, wait. Highway 70.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Not 70 miles an hour.
No.
Do you drive 70 miles an hour?
Allegedly. maybe over.
Do you have a friend who?
At least.
Is it Ryan Schmelz?
It's not a, it is a guy named Ryan. It's not a friend, though.
Hello, friends and Ryan.
Well. I'll sneak one more in here. Not using your turn signal. Do you ever not use your turn signal to turn?
Rarely.
I have another friend who this person and I disagree significantly on the appropriate time to signal.
Are you a heavy
You're a pretty big stickler for
person?
It, aren't you?
When I have determined that I need to change a lane, if you're turning, you're supposed to signal.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stop. You should signal before you touch the brake. But on a highway, if you're going to change lanes, it doesn't do any good to signal as you start changing the lane. It's too late!
I'll agree with that. I'll agree.
That friend is also Ryan. Terrible driver.
Last one, really quick. Throwing pistachio shells out the window.
Shut up! You shut up!
On Tucker.
I got yelled at downtown, and I've never done it again. In shame. Jim Carafano next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.